I want to take you back 33 years to November 3rd, 1979. It's often referred to as the Greensboro Massacre, and I am a survivor. It is a chilly, crisp fall day, but by mid-morning, the sun breaks through the clouds and warms the air. People of many colors are assembling in Morningside homes, a poor, primarily African-American community. They're preparing for a legally permitted anti-Klan rally and parade through town. You see, the Workers' Viewpoint Organization sponsored the march. Members were organizing trade unions in several area textile mills to get decent wages and working conditions. Mill owners opposed our efforts, as did the Klan, whose racist ideology sowed mutual suspicion and hate between black and white workers. I was 41 and working in a textile mill. My husband, Jim, was 2 days from his 37th birthday. He was a pediatrician specializing in infectious diseases. We'd been married for less than 2 years. Shortly after 11 o'clock that morning, armed Klansmen and Nazis rolled down the street in a caravan of cars. One of them shouted, "China Grove." He was referring to several months earlier in the small town. Klansmen, Nazis, and members of the Workers' Viewpoint clashed over the showing of the racist film, Birth of a Nation. Then the caravan slowed. Men chanted back and forth, shouting, a brief stick fight, and then men got out of a car and unloaded weapons from a trunk. They fired on us. My 11-year-old son Alex was with me. As he ran, I ran after him, trying to protect him from the bullets. Strangers opened their doors, giving us safety. 88 seconds later, 5 people were dead and 10 wounded. The Greensboro police were not to be seen, in stark contrast to the normal, mandated procedure for public parades and rallies. When it seemed safe to venture back outside, I saw a battlefield, bleeding bodies strewn all over the lawn, where minutes before we had stood in little groups singing freedom songs. I found Jim, who had drawn his last breath seconds before I reached him. He was shot in the back. Sandy died from a bullet through her forehead. Bill was dying, gasping for air, and then his lungs gave out. Caesar was gunned down after trying to ward off his attackers with a stick. Mike was shot in the face, and he lay in a pool of blood, but he would cling to life for 2 more days in the hospital. In 2005, as the Truth and Reconciliation Commission held public hearings, former Nazi Roland Wood called me. He had killed my husband and wounded others. Sobbing and repentant, he pleaded for my forgiveness. I forgave him, as did my son, Alex. We also learned the Greensboro Police Department, the City of Greensboro, the FBI, and the BATF, and the Justice Department all had agents with foreknowledge of the Klan and Nazis' plans. They allowed the violence to unfold, lied, and covered up the truth. Our problems are far deeper than can be addressed by exchanging one political system for another. Our us-against-them mentality brings us to the brink of destruction. Only a transformation of humankind at a deeper spiritual level can bring our social, economic, and failing institutions into alignment with the benevolent spirit of the universe. This consciousness accompanies my memories of 1979 and helps me decide what I need to do right now to change the world. I'm supporting Jorge Cornell and the Latin Kings. They are currently on trial in Forsyth County facing federal racketeering charges, but many of them were community organizers. Jorge helped broker a peace between some of Greensboro's street gangs. He was on the school board commission for safety, motivated by his desire to keep children safe. And before his arrest in December 2011, he was working to set up an employment agency for marginalized citizens. This very much reminds me of the government repression I and my friends experienced in 1979. The Greensboro Massacre has wounded me profoundly, but it has also taught me hope for the future, a hope described by Lu Xun in 1921. Hope cannot be said to exist, nor can it be said not to exist. It is just like the roads across the earth. For actually, there were no roads to begin with. But when many people pass one way, a road is made.